Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and this is episode 200. Can you believe it? 200 hours of this. I'm getting a little bit welled up just thinking about it over the years. Way back in 2016 when this all got started, it was just me and Jeremy. Just a way to spend time with my schizophrenic brother week to week. And, you know, we've had guest hosts and former hosts like Kim Ambrose, now Kim Callahan. And now we reached the new era with Miss Ashley Pontius, and I got to be honest with you, it brings a little tear to my eye. So thank you, all you loyal listeners who've been with us from the start, the OGs out there. We know who you are. We love you. Thank you. And you've been a big part of why we come back week to week to bring you the greatest films in, I guess, our own minds. And really, I don't know. I think what we do is important to some extent, if not for any other reason than my own sanity. So, hey, not going to go and pander for your likes today and your 5-star ratings, although just by saying that, I guess I kind of did. But hey, it's the 200th episode. We thank you so much. So without further ado, get strapped in. Turn that volume up to 11. Break off the knob and get ready for Army of Darkness with guest Kurt Ryan.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
You know, if Jeremy says one thing, he doesn't necessarily always mean it. And, you know, I don't know. How about that Baltimore comedy drama? I'll tell you. We were due for one. Even with no shows, they've figured out a way. Somehow.
Yeah. The thing is, I can't.
Can I tell you?
I can't believe I have to read that much about improv. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. It's just like, I thought it, out of everything, like, improv was, you know, safe from the drama. I guess not.
I think the most important thing that we found out is that improv needs to be canceled now, because clearly, I mean, look, if you like, when Michael Richards did his improv, right? I mean, it's clearly that is the issue more than anything.
Yeah, she was like homophobic to Rose Bonchank, and then she was like, I said that because I'm an improviser, and you know, so we think quick on our feet, and we don't, it's like, what? I don't.
That was bananas. I read that.
You know who else?
That's not a good. That's bad. Don't, if you're a good improviser, you could have thought of a better excuse than that.
You know who else was a great improviser? Hitler. So you do the math.
Yeah, he always said yes and.
Yes and.
I actually tell a joke. It's hard to reconcile my love for improv with the Me Too movement, because the number one rule of improv is you never say no. And I'm like, the game is called Whose Cum Is It Anyways, where the rules are made up and consent doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, Baltimore improv, world renowned. You know, all those famous Baltimore improvers like... Yeah, he's famous, you know?
Like Cal Ripken.
Yeah, Cal Ripken. Billy Ripken. What's his name? Brady Anderson. Fucking great at improv.
My favorite thing, though, about anyone involved is I love that they keep putting up posts on either side where they're like, I don't need to talk about this. This is done. This is over. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, you know what? There's something else I want to add.
Oh, it's one more thing. Like, fuck that bitch, right? I love it. Yeah, it's so
yeah,
funny.
Comics have to be like, I don't really need to address this. And then they'll like make four statuses addressing it.
Yes, every single time. It's completely... My wife hit me with a real knee slapper when I hopped on here. And then she goes, she was just like, I was like, yeah, I'm on with this comedian Kurt Ryan today. And he's, you know, he's super autistic. And she goes, he was like, how well could he draw? And I like overreacted, knee slapped it. And she was very upset that I did that. She's like, I was like, oh my God, that's so funny.
He's not really autistic, is he?
Yeah, he's really autistic. He's uber autistic. I only know that Kurt is autistic because he says it, but I'm not 100% sure. Otherwise, this is the greatest bit he's ever done. I'll be honest with you. If he played Long Con this entire time, and it's just like, yeah, I'm an autistic comedian, and you ended up being Andy Kaufman, hats off to you, sir.
Yeah, I just like walk away from the venue, like able to make eye contact with people.
Yeah.
So can we prove this with like a box of like toothpicks or something?
Yes, I've had multiple tests. Please don't ruin the show for, for what I have planned. No, the thing is, Kurt isn't that kind of autistic. He's like he's autistic for memes, and it is a goddamn blessing sent down from heaven above. God bless you. Are we ready to start the show? Let's just get it underway. I got a lot to go through. Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth. I'm joined first by my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Who are you talking about?
Of course I'm talking about you, but who's coming to the program today?
It is I, Timothy Clear, the blacksmith.
The blacksmith?
Count of my steel.
The blacksmith from our movie tonight, the Army of Darkness. You are that gentleman. That's the impression that you've been working on all week?
All week. Well, more like, because I made it up a minute ago. So.
That's not right.
And that other sultry voice you hear is none other than comedian extraordinaire, my other guest,
ooh,
my
yeah,
other host,
sucking on it,
Miss Ashley Pontius. Ashley, how are you doing?
Hi.
Love,
I'm good, Daddy.
I love it. And then we have a special guest on top of all that. I'll say it, a straight up meme lord. The guy who I get most of my funny content, I screen cap his things all the time and share them with other people who aren't on the internet. Mr. Kurt Ryan! Kurt, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
That's great, man. So Kurt is a comedian. He originally lived here in the Baltimore, D.C. area. I never really pinpointed your location, but from the Mid-Atlantic. And now you've moved recently out to Nevada? Is that where?
Arizona,
where your mom's and is at. And how's life out in Arizona treating you, brother?
It's doing good. I mean, it's nice to be with family. I mean, that's always good. It's better than being quarantined by yourself.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Yeah,
I think Doug Stanhope lives in Arizona. Do you ever run into him?
No, I haven't met Stanhope yet. That would be pretty cool, though. He's get drunk and high with Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, yes, that would be good. I mean, now you have to reach out to the comedians in your area, and that's the only one I know that's there. So, I'd do that. But no, Kurt is super funny. I actually had a chance to work with you, I guess, right before quarantine. We were on a not what I'd call a great show.
It's a little weird.
We did a restaurant show that I only did because I saw that it was in my neighborhood, and I was like, hey, this is 5 minutes from my house. Can I be on this show? And the guy vetted me, and like I was like, I don't know, like, here's my website. I just want to do a couple minutes. And then I went from that as to closing out this show at a fucking bar in my hometown, where it was awkward, to say the least. It's just like one of those loud restaurant shows where people don't really give a fuck. So and Kurt was there, and I finally got to meet you, and you're funny even on stage.
Oh, thanks, man. That's nice to hear. When people find out I exist outside of Facebook, they're always shocked.
I was like,
oh, you're a real person.
Yeah, it was like taking the fucking blue pill right then and there. I knew that was like, I'm out of the matrix now.
Blue pill. Did you get those from Justin or?
Yeah, I was rock hard the entire time Kurt was up there, and that's just how I perform though. So
that's usually always the case. Mm-hmm. Dudes always get boners when I do my stand up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
At least
you have something to hang your hat on.
Yeah. All I really remember about that show is that when I got there, the bar was kind of packed or whatever, and some lady came up. They're like, who are all the fucking people in my bar? And I was outside, and I was like, oh, there's a comedy show, and it's gonna be really good. And she just shit on me, and she was like, ugh, I don't fucking know you, and didn't talk to me. And meanwhile, I'm going up in like 5 minutes, and I did nothing but shit on that lady for like a good 6 minutes of my set, and she was not fucking happy with me. That's all. That's my last impression. Meanwhile, usually when I do that, I get to leave whatever city I'm in, so I'll never have to see them again. I have to. The chances of me running into this lady get very high. Like, it's not a big town I live in, so I kind of played myself there. But
was this a Sykesville show?
Yeah, it was a Sykesville. It was Eldersburg, you know, Eldersburg show. I think it was at like some Italian restaurant.
I call it Sykesville.
Okay, I mean,
some people call it a Kaiser blade. I call it a sling blade.
Okay. Hey, now some things we haven't gone over in the Quality Time podcast lately. Last week we had Michael Winslow, which was a fucking whirlwind of noises and stories. I don't even know how to explain. Yeah, Kurt, we had Michael Winslow on the show last week, and he could not physically stop making noises, and I could not stop. I was like, this guy really can't stop. He's always on.
I'd be disappointed if he wasn't making noises the entire time.
No,
could you please just like make yourself sound like a car alarm, please?
It just felt like adorable Tourette's the entire time.
Yes, it really did. He is a damaged man.
I respect him for living his gimmick, though. You know, like, he realizes he's the sound effect guy, and he's like, that's what I'm going to do.
This is it.
Right.
This is it. I do like Michael Winslow. He's a very kind man, and we'll have to wait. See, we're recording this, and it actually technically comes out tomorrow or like 2 days from now. So we'll get some more feedback from what the fans thought of the Michael Winslow episode very shortly. Jeremy, how is the job front going, sir?
I was laid off last week.
You were laid off last week. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, so I had a great job. No, I don't have a great job. So...
Well, I'm glad because you're now, it's freed up your time for Quality Time, the show that pays you absolutely nothing, but you get to hang out with us.
Hell yeah. Forget working, I got Quality Time.
Jeremy, you had messaged me earlier this week, though, and you said you were asking, because we had Justin on a previous episode, and you had inquired where Justin had gotten his test at, because you have a new job possibly lined up where you need to get coronavirus tested before you go.
Yeah.
So did you get...
And you never answered back, so...
Well, I never... I'll be honest with you. I think I sent a text message to Justin. He never answered me back, so I don't know how to...
Justin's super busy, but I know that if you do get letsgetcheck.com, they now do it. I think it's like $30 or something like that.
No, I wish I had paid that, because I paid about 3 to 4 times that amount, so...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Let's get it's okay. Out of my pocket.
Well, Let's Get Checked is really good. They do all kinds of stuff, like especially STD checks and stuff.
Oh. So that's where you go like every other day.
Yeah, they send it in the mail. It's real easy.
Oh, yeah.
I lose a lot of blood, but...
Like AIDS again?
In fact, you guys, I'm not even kidding, you can even get a subscription where you can just every 3 months get a test sent to you, because I'm like, I'm irresponsible.
I just imagine...
And even though you're having sex with men, it's like there's always like blood involved with the sex. checks every other time, so you still get checked for AIDS.
I was going to say, Kurt's one of my best friends. Kurt's heard it all. I'm like, oh no, Kurt, what's wrong with me this time? And he's like, you should really stop dating other comedians. What's wrong with you?
Hey, Kurt, the funny part is like I hear just meme suggestion. It's the black guy who like points to his head like this, right? And it's the caption is he like, don't have to get AIDS tested if you already got it. Like that, you know what I mean? It's pretty
simple. Well, I think it goes away like after a couple months. Yeah, like you get used to the syphilis dripping after a couple of years. So
yeah, that's how I became one of the top Slurpee salesmen in the fucking tri-state area is giving them my old clap drippings. You know, it's just how I roll.
Oh, you had me at clap drippings.
Hey, I want you to know, it's really hard to gross out Ashley Pontius, and that one did it for her. Like, I saw her clearly on her face, like, God, that's fucking foul. And I really have to try to get to that level.
If you could gross her out, you really must have said some ill shit.
Well, I think what got me was he said clap drippings, and I just assumed it was whenever Eric tries to finish in my ass. So.
Here like, come a clap drippings again. Ooh,
but speaking of clap drippings, yeah, I had to call Eric again last week. I was like, I'm having so many butt problems.
Yes, you have been having... Oh, my God. So, Ashley, do you want me to tell it, or do you want to tell the story about how you've been trying to deal with your butt problems? And this,
I'm going to let you tell it and see how you do.
Ashley called me, and she's known for her diuretic issues. She told me, I'll just let it out. She told me that she's been taking Imodium AD, but in the south mouth. You understand? The oral over-the-counter pills she's been inserting into her back end like she's a fucking Pez dispenser. And apparently, Ashley, what are the results that you've gotten from this? Because the shock and horror of you doing this has already been enough.
So I had a show where I was featuring for Tommy in Hanover, PA, and I was leaking as per usual. And I was like, and I was like, no, like I can't bring this gravy boat to the show. Like this is a problem. So I was just so upset about it because like it's a chronic problem I have. And I was like, I don't have a lot of time. It's hot because the hotter it gets outside, the more I do. I took a handful of the capsules and I shoved them in my rectum.
Wait, so already, and from what I know about doing that though, like if people, because I know like hardcore alcoholics, they like to go put a old funnel up the old south mouth and then drink an old Budweiser classic right up the old poop chute, but you get it directly into your bloodstream. So like the dosage, did you almost OD on Imodium?
I almost did. I would not recommend. It is very dangerous. Do not sue me. But at first, you get like a wild rush. At least I did personally. And I was in like such a good mood. I was like, I'm so glad. And it was like doing cartwheels. And they're like, how is this large woman doing such amazing feats?
Oh my God.
Then like maybe an hour after that, I'm like, oh, I'm so sleepy. So I had to really pull my energy together for my set. And then I was like, I need a nap. So you have a lot of energy. The crash is hard, but you sleep really well. And you don't poop.
Oh my gosh. What else have you thought about south mouthing? Is there anything else? Like, have you ever... Why did you go hard pill and not maybe like do a handstand and try some Pepto first? I'm just curious.
Fabulous point. So my fear would be that if I could not quickly absorb it, just like whenever someone leaves their trail inside you, it might have gravity slowly pulling it out. I did not want people to be like, oh my God, there's pink ooze coming out of Ashley's asshole.
And, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like if it leaks out, because that's the thing, even like a suppository, you need to take those usually like at night or whatever. Because like it'll dissolve and it'll run out your openings. So
okay, well,
I'm happy with the results. I'm glad I didn't die because that would have been really hard for you guys to explain to our listeners. I'm like, how did Ashley die? I'd be like, she shoved too much Imodium in her butthole.
That's a weird obituary to read.
Well, at least you didn't fall off a bridge this week, so.
There have been a couple of celebrity deaths in the horror world we haven't really mentioned. John Saxon has passed as of late.
Mm-hmm. Did cover him.
That one sucks.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He was the oiliest of my actors that I liked. There was always a when he woke up, he was just like, I need a fine coat all over me. And yeah. Which is kind of sad. I'm mad about John Saxon, but also we lost the great Wilford Brimley, Jeremy, who Jeremy's met on multiple occasions. And maybe I'll dig up the audio if I can remember to do this. But if you go to the end of this episode, I'll throw on the Wilford Brimley audio that we got from Monster Mania, which really just consists of him very angrily going, "I said no goddamn interviews. You know I said that. I said it right away. I said nothing. I don't want to be taped." Which was the highlight of our Monster Mania audio collecting endeavor.
He went to that great big Liberty Medical in the sky.
Yes. Jeremy, you had a special song that you wrote for this week's episode. I guess it's not really to do with our, I guess, episode proper.
No, I knew the movie was Army Darkness. And I'm a big fan of the movie, so I figure I'd do a song about Alex Trebek instead.
You figured you'd do a song about Alex Trebek. The connection is really shitty for almost all of you guys right now. Okay, so Jeremy, this is the song that you made about Alex Trebek. Let's give it a listen.
Beck is gonna die. Yes, he's gonna die. His life's in jeopardy because he's got cancer. He's taught us so much about life. He knows all the answers, but still we have so many questions. Like before and after science and potpourri. Alex Trebek's gonna die. He's been on that show for 100 years now. He's 90 years old. He never got another job, yeah. Alex Trebek is gonna die. Leaving all with questions. Like world history. Or maybe word origins, history, or colleges and universities.
Oh, wow.
Wait for it. Alex.
See if you get the deal done.
Fuck him.
Oh, you added an extra Alex Trebek at the end saying, fuck him. I like that. Yeah. That's good. Good work, Jeremy.
Actual Alex Trebek cussing, so.
Jeremy, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're going to generate content like that, I don't want you to ever have a job again, all right? I need you dedicated to the art of music at this point.
I thought it was a good send-up to Army Darkness, so.
Yeah, that's what we were all thinking. So, yeah, I guess that brings us to our movie. By the way, today's our 200th episode. We made it. We've done this 200 times. I can't believe it. The pick of the week is our guest who picked Army of Darkness, a fan favorite and a favorite of the show for sure. Ryan, what's your connection with the Army of Darkness?
I always loved this movie as a kid. I saw this one before I ever saw the first two Evil Dead movies, which is kind of weird because you're like, it's weird to start with the third sequel that's this weird medieval like comedy thing, and then it's just a weird way to start like a franchise like this. I don't know. It's just like. But I love this movie. I actually think it's my favorite one in the franchise, probably because it has a certain nostalgia factor for me because it's the first one I saw as a kid. But like, Evil Dead 2 is great too. But I think Army of Darkness is probably my favorite one.
Yeah, I really, I think in this one you get the parts of Ash that you know. The Ash character really is fully fleshed out by this one because
yeah, he's like cool and like he's like really funny and like they just like really play into like Bruce Campbell's like strengths in this movie.
Yes, every single part of it, and they beat the shit out of him, which we've done Evil Dead 2, and one of the main reasons that you know, Bruce Campbell doesn't want to do any more Evil Dead is because every time he works with Sam Raimi, he finds ways to just beat the shit out of him in movies. And like, he's like, yeah, I get whacked with skeleton arms and I have to flip myself over in kitchens. And he's just, he finds ways to torture me every film. And he laughs. He laughs the whole time, which is.
Yeah, he's just like getting his shit kicked in. And Sam Raimi's like, yeah, so, here we have you floating and getting kicked in the nuts for it's a scene I wrote.
Yes. And it's,
like, this wasn't even in the original script. Did you just come up with this 3 seconds ago? Yeah.
How many people know that this is the third in the trilogy from Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2, and Crime Wave? So.
Crime Wave, great Sam Raimi property, underappreciated to say the least. I forget what's that actor's name who's like the guy in Crime Wave, and he's also in Cabin Boy. He looks like he has a rat's face. I can't remember his name.
Maybe Brian James.
Brian James, yes, I like that actor. He's just he's a man who's made ugly a fucking full time job.
Don't forget Enemy Mine.
Oh, he was in Enemy Mine too. Yeah.
He was just born to be a character actor.
Yes.
Like when he was
he's
baby.
He's the greatest like, male actor without a chin.
The doctor's like, yeah, he's going to be that guy in movies. That's what the doctor said when he was born.
Yeah. He's
and he's also really a replicant and doesn't know what a tortoise is.
Yeah. Yes, that is true. He is also in Blade Runner and the very first guy that they interview. No, I like it when you look at a child, like a child actor, and you're like, you're going to be goon number 3 in so many movies, pal.
It's like Ron Howard's brother.
Yeah, yes. Clint Howard. Oh, God. The great Clint Howard.
But when they describe him as rat-faced in the script, they're like, no, yeah, he actually looks that way.
So some interesting fun facts about Evil or about the Army of Darkness. Army of Darkness was actually produced and made under a different film studio than Evil Dead 2, which is why Universal technically owns all the rights to the Army of Darkness. So, you know, later in the franchise, if you guys are Ash versus Evil Dead fans, you'll notice that they don't talk about anything that happens in the Army of Darkness. And this is the reason why, is because Universal owns all the rights to this particular film.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I talked to Timothy Quill, I'm sorry, when he was unbelievably drunk at a con together, having a great time. And of course, he was talking about how he was
Jeremy, for our listeners, blacksmith. Yes, tell us who Timothy Quill is. That's the blacksmith in this movie. Okay.
He was convinced that one of the seasons they were actually going to go back to the medieval times, and he was definitely going to be in it, but it never came to fruition, so.
Yeah, well, they can't free him off the rights. They have the same problem that the Jason movies have, because their Jason movies are like, you know, half of them are owned by Paramount, and then the other ones are owned by Dimension, which is why you can't get a good box set these days.
Yeah, that's always weird when, like, there's, like, sequels that are just with a different studio, and then, like, they just can't acknowledge them in future movies. It always seems so weird. Mm-hmm. It's like in Halloween, like remember in like H2O, like they couldn't acknowledge that like 4, 5, or 6 happened.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is odd. I think it's odd for at least because I love like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that they can't mention, well, now they can because Disney's finally bought out everything, but if you watch all the 10 years of Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, they can't mention mutants or anything that has to do with the X-Men, or for a long time they couldn't mention Spider-Man and stuff, which doesn't make sense because there's a whole attack on New York City and you're like, is Spider-Man just not going to do anything right now? Are you out of your fucking mind? Like, of course Spider-Man would try to help fight these fucking aliens, right?
Right.
But they've welded it, they've gotten it mixed in. I'll be interested to see how they bring in the mutants and the X-Men now into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because technically there's two mutants that are already in there. They just called them Miracles, I guess, in Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, but they are technically both mutants. So
Well, I'm also excited, not to keep us off track, but I'm excited to see what happens with Clive Barker now that the rights to Hellraiser are being returned back to him. So I'm interested to see what happens with that. Horror, what you gonna do?
Yeah. Hey, I'll be honest with you. The last Hellraiser movie, I didn't hate it. I did not hate the last Hellraiser
movie. You notice with most of those Hellraiser sequels, though, like, I don't know if you guys know this, they were different scripts, and they just slapped Pinhead into them. Like most of those movies weren't even supposed to be like Hellraiser movies.
I believe that.
Alright, let's just like throw Pinhead in here and see how this works.
It was like Saw, and they're like, oh, let's put Pinhead in on this Saw movie.
Yeah, they are just like add-ons. Yeah, like the original Hellraiser was really just supposed to be the Hellbound Heart, which is the story about Julia and the other guy. And then they were like, oh yeah, I made these cool fucking Cenobites too. And then that they became like a focal point of the movie, mostly because of fucking Doug Bradley's great performance as Pinhead. Like, he was never even supposed to talk. And then they were like, yeah, you should just talk all the time because you're like really good at this. And then, you know, that's the beauty of art happening in front of our eyes. But back to this film. Obviously, this movie starts off fucking brings you right to the end of Evil Dead 2, where Ash is sucked into that giant void and he wakes up in the past. Now, in Evil Dead 2, because Sam Raimi just gives zero fucks about continuity between any of his films, and I think that's kind of a more like 2000s thing where continuity really started to actually matter to us. Like,
yeah, now like we actually are like, how does it connect to the other movies? Like back then we were a little more like lenient with that stuff.
Yeah, because there wasn't a bunch of nerds on chat boards who were like, excuse me, if you'd watched the last one, you would have known that he was already crowned king at the very beginning. Like this. But that doesn't exist at this time.
People weren't as autistic back then.
Yeah, so.
Well, if you notice in frame 4, he had glasses on in the previous scene, but he doesn't have glasses on in this scene. This movie sucks.
Yes. No, that is true. That's why there's whole parts of like studios that do nothing but think about the film continuity. Because I mean, in all honesty, could you imagine if like they had made the original Star Wars today, like how much like shit they would give? They were like, wait a minute, he just kissed his sister? This is outrageous. Blah 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 blah. So, yeah, I times were better when we had less power, if I'm going to be honest with you, okay? We were in a happier time.
Yeah, I miss my husband, like, beating me and telling me to make him a sandwich.
Exactly.
Times.
You know, gosh.
If they didn't have brother and sister sex in movies, I wouldn't want to watch Game of Thrones.
That is true.
That's a fair point, Jeremy.
I also,
now they just, you know, would have to make them step brother and stepsister. That way you get the Pornhub crowd in there.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
It was funny, yeah. I'd never actually seen that Will Ferrell movie, Step Brothers, but I went on YouPorn looking it up, and it was really, I don't think I found the right one. But there were lots of entries. So.
It'd be funny if you found the right one. It's just Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, like, fucking each other.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they made They made the porn parody themselves? Okay.
Actually, it would be funny if just somebody uploaded the actual movie Step Brothers to Pornhub and it says Step Brothers fuck up their parents' life, and then it's just the movie.
Some people do that. Like, they upload like real movies on there, and you're just like, I don't, like, okay, I was going to watch a gangbang, but sure, I'll watch the movie, this is Lincoln.
Yes. I like there's this one guy on Pornhub who just uploads videos of like I quietly put you to sleep and tell you that you're important.
Oh, yeah, you're the wholesome guy.
Yeah, like the wholesome guy. It's a good bit, man. Wholesome guy's a good bit.
Is there like a female Pornhub where guys just do things like take out the garbage and do all the dishes and like you know, make a meal for their wife?
Yeah, it's still called Pornhub, but it's like short for husband. So it's like, I jerk off to the idea that any of these guys could be husband material at some point. Yeah, it's like, Ashley, like, I balanced the checkbook and I'm going to pick the kids up from school today so you don't have to.
What was that, Kurt?
A guy's just like listening to your story and like actually he cares about what you're saying. That's what the female version would be.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, I didn't get picked for this show, Eric. And Eric's like, tell me more. You're hilarious. It's fine. And I'm like, but why not me? I don't know. You're just too damn funny for that show.
Yeah. They pay you the exact same rate that a man gets for the same job. That's real. That's Lady Pornhub right there.
Oh my God. And I'm headlining and I don't have to feature for men who've been doing it as long as I have anymore. Oh my God.
See, listen, we're a progressive podcast here. So no, that's so Sam Raimi, this one he actually got a pretty big budget for, and it starts off right with Ash instead of blowing away a deadite like at the end of Evil Dead 2 where he's immediately called the chosen one. It's theorized by a wise man who says that he is the chosen one. And
my lord, I believe he is the one written of in the Necronomicon. He who's prophesied to fall from the heavens and deliver us from the terrors of the Deadites.
What? That buffoon? Likely. He's one of Henry's men! Kneel,
rats! So they immediately apprehend good old Ashley Williams and they put him in the stocks and start marching him back to the castle as a slave, where he gets to meet Sheila right after that. Sheila is, of course, played by M. Beth Davids, who is most famously known as the very nice lady from Matilda. That's how I know her best.
Oh, yes. I didn't even recognize her. That's
yes.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, she was in Matilda. Yeah, that's weird.
And she's also in a Quality Time episode that we had done a while back for the movie Fallen. She's one of the main actresses in Fallen. Aside,
wouldn't it be funny if we could connect Matilda into the Evil Dead universe somehow? Yes. Matilda is involved,
dude. Matilda versus Evil Dead, I pop for. I'm not gonna lie, I fucking pop for that.
But can I just say, though, that like the Middle Ages, the Middle Ages, I just have to say, have to be the worst time to get sent back to, because it's like there's terrible food, there's rampant STDs, and like people just shitting in the streets. It's like a day at my house.
Yeah, you just have genital warts and you have to shit in the street. It's awful. What an awful time.
Yeah, I like that time when there was just standard genital warts, because everybody got genital warts. Again, you don't have to get tested for STDs. We all got the same joint, you know?
That's fair. That's true.
Yeah, you remember when? Remember when pandemics?
Can we say this movie sets the new standard for movies of a movie that actually makes slavery hilarious?
Yeah. Hey, listen. If those are the only ones, or slavery can only be hilarious if it is white people, right? Like you can't.
I mean, yeah, that's the only time you can freely laugh in the movie theater. You know, as if it's white people who are slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching this with my good friend Jerron Nelson, and then when he was enslaved, I was like, just like you, buddy, huh? You know what I mean? And then He didn't laugh. It was weird that we didn't find common ground on that, but it was fun nonetheless.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out for a long time why we couldn't find new guests. No,
like they could have renamed this movie "One Day a Slave."
Oh, "One Day a Slave." Yes. All right, Jeremy. Yeah. I laughed at that one.
Good.
So Arthur, who is the Lord Arthur, who was the basically for all intents and purposes the king of the castle, talks to Sheila, who's looking for her loved one.
Lord Arthur, where is my brother? Did he not ride with you?
Aye, and fought valiantly. But last night he fell in battle to Duke Henry's men. I'm sorry, Sheila. Come on.
So while this is all happening, Ash is getting pulled through the town square here, and little kids are just beating the shit out of him and throwing rocks at him, and he's like, "Get off me, you little bastards!" And it's very hilarious. And then Sheila comes and just starts ripping tufts of his hair out and spits in his face. So it's just not the greatest welcome he's ever had, but good laughs, good slapstick already happening.
Who didn't jerk off to that scene? Am I right, fellas?
Same.
Hey, listen, I'm a hair pull guy on me, okay? So, yeah, I'm on board with that. So
I'm in the humiliation.
So,
I'm going to have to make a note of that. You never told me you like me to pull your butt hair.
I like you to cornrow them first, then yank them out. That's how I like it, baby.
You know me. I love this.
So they head to the pit where they are going to be executed. And Henry... what's it called? Ash goes and talks to Henry, who is the guy they have captured of the rival clan.
I am Henry the Red, Duke of Shale, Lord of the Northlands and leader of its peoples.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now, Jack and shit. And Jack left town.
And I have used that line at least 13 or 14 times in my life when I met somebody important. So there's never been a better line than "Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. You ain't leading nothing but jack and shit right now." God.
That is a great line.
He is such a cad.
Yes, it's so fucking good. So they go to go toss the first guy into the pit, and all of a sudden...
He is such a cad in this movie.
I love that they toss this first guy into the bloody pit of horrors here, and he doesn't get pushed. He just jumps in, clearly. Like,
I saw that.
I watched it multiple... I always... Even the first time I watched it, I'm like, why did he just jump in? Isn't it, like, make somebody force you in there. So, and then a couple seconds go by, and then everybody kind of gets along and looks down into the pit, and then... giant geyser of blood, like Old Faithful, shoots up out of nowhere. Another fella takes off, and we get to see a classic Sam Raimi film tactic that he likes to do, where he just does a first-person view of something chasing someone, and this time it's an arrow, and it goes right into this guy's back. And I love just the fucking sound effects, and we've talked about this on the Evil Dead 2 episode, but he loves his slapstick humor, because he's a huge Three Stooges fan, and just like...
There's like a Looney Tunes cartoon with like blood in it. That's really like what his movies like feel like to me. Now it's this very, very weird but awesome combination.
I dig the hell out of it. I thought comedian Jimmy Merritt really put it great when he said that Sam Raimi makes comic books for adults as movies. Like, that is the kind of the best way to describe it. And just even like the little sound effects, like when the guy's running, he's like, and it's just, it's a goofy sound to watch somebody run. Like, if you saw somebody running and making that noise, you would laugh. I mean, you'd laugh at that person, right? Like, so.
Yeah, I agree. I think every single thing he brings to the table, from sound effects to, you know, the special effects for makeup, I mean, everything he does, I think, has a huge important role in the movie, down to every single detail.
So they immediately turn to Ash after this, like it's his turn to fucking go in, and he's like, I don't want to fucking go down there. So he tries to plead with his captors.
Wait a minute, you gotta understand, man, I I never even saw these assholes before.
And Sheila takes a fucking rock, beams it at his head, and then he like stumbles over to the edge, and it does that classic like, whoa, I'm about to fall in. And then boom, kick to the ass, does a full front flip down into this fucking nightmare pit of terrors, where he runs into this fucking witch that's down there, pops up, and basically has a kung fu fight with her. They activate the fucking spikes because they were like, oh, he could actually fight back. I might as well just throw these spikes into the fucking mix. So now there's a walls with spikes closing in on him. He's kind of losing this fight, but all of a sudden the fucking wise man looks down at him, and he keeps calling him Strange One, who luckily that guy grabbed his chainsaw.
Strange One!
And then throws down his chainsaw, and Ash perfectly jumps up and it clicks onto his hand. And I remember, what an iconic scene. I, even as a child who maybe didn't fully understand like the sense of humor that I have today, that made me fucking laugh so goddamn hard.
That made me like jump on the couch with joy when I first saw that. I was like, oh yeah.
It's super cool. I love it.
And I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty, I would guess the movie magic on that is clearly like it's a shot that's filmed backwards. Like it's on his thing and then like perfectly comes off and just films like that. Those are old tactics just from like old time, like what's the word, Charlie Chaplin style filmmaking, where they're just like, oh, you want something to look cool? Well, film it backwards and it'll look fucking really vicious when the axe comes down. Michael Winslow put me on to that tip last week.
So. I liken it to how Voltron gets his parts together, like his arms and his legs.
Yes, oh, that's exactly how I thought it.
A really good point.
So he makes short work of her right after that, but another little deadite pops out from the wall, and that thing looks like it's straight out of Gwar. He chops that thing's hand off. It goes up on somebody's face. It's very comical.
It's like the bassist for Gwar.
Yes. Yes. Like he looks like Ballsack, the fucking destroyer. 100%. Yeah. I see that.
Like out of the next deadite wall, there comes like Bill Clinton. So.
Oh no, it's Giselle.
Oh look, it's Sexecutioner. Oh great.
Actually, the whole time I was watching that pit scene, I couldn't help but think, I was like, why does this remind me of Brian Preston's house? The same atmosphere and texture.
Hey, we got to be God careful. That's a Laugh Finder bit where we shit on Brian's trash house, okay?
Oh, okay. Then I'm sorry. You know what? That's right. Edit that out. Let me change that. The pit actually reminded me of what I assume that towel you bathed with last week smelled like.
That. Yes.
Yeah, your moldy towel that smells like oranges.
By the way, if you'd love to hear some more of Brian Preston outside of the Laugh Finder podcast, check out our archives. He's on the Dead Heat episode as well as the regular Heat episode, so you can check him out on both of those. A movie that Jeremy fucking hated is the movie Heat. So he then has to deal with this other fucking ugly deadite, and he uses his fucking belt like he's Indiana Jones, so he can use the chain to get back up. He uses it like a whip. It holds onto his foot, but ultimately he gets high enough, and the spikes crush this fucking deadite below his feet. When Ash gets up, he is not fucking happy with the townsfolk.
You. You want some more? Huh? You want a little?
You want a little bit? And he goes and roughs up some of the townspeople and then frees Henry's men so they're able to escape. They're obviously ecstatic. Arthur is fucking pissed off. He draws a sword and he's ready to fight.
Sword boy! For that arrogance, I shall see you dead.
Then Ash blows off the tip of his sword, and I got a little bit of dialogue from Ash explaining what he just shot, obviously explaining the shotgun to the primitive townsfolk of this medieval town.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
See this? This is my boomstick! It's a 12-gauge double-barreled Remington. S-Mart's top of the line. You can find this in the sporting goods department. That's right, this sweet baby was made in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Retails for about $109.95. It's got a walnut stock.
Like all the townsfolk are looking at, like, oh, look at that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Trigger.
That's right. Shop smart. Shop S-Mart. You got that? Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
And he shoots the deadite that is now making its way out of the pit with the boomstick, and a new catchphrase is born. I mean, this movie is wrought with new catchphrases. I would say probably the most, I will say it, this is the most quotable horror comedy movie of all time. I mean, it's just, everything is just so iconic. I'd say it's a close second would be Roddy Piper in They Live with, you know, I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. This movie produced just three or four fucking great ones, and that's number one, is yeah. This is my boomstick. So
I mean, it's fantastic, but honestly, for me, most quotable is going to be The Burbs, which we definitely got to cover at some point. But yeah, boomstick is a big one, and the S-Mart, like, yeah, they're all pretty iconic.
Hey, I will say,
I'd like to think that this is the one thing, like, Back to the Future, that he actually changes in the future, so that S-Mart is the largest chain. There's no other chains in the future, and they have like some weird backstory about how the prophecy made S-Mart the greatest chain store, and it's also kind of like a church where they worship the iconic large store and guns. There's like more guns than any other store in history.
Now, Jeremy, you're going into the cinematic universe of Sam Raimi, and I'm liking what you're putting down right now. Okay,
I agree. I like this. I would definitely join the church that worships great value.
It's like, not only you have to go in there and you have to buy a gun just when you go in the store, but you always have to have an S-Mart gun because the prophecy, you know, is you know, or you'll get hurt. So.
No, I buy that. So yeah. He then goes to ask who can figure out a way to get me home. So he is now being pampered like he's the king of the fucking town. Sheila comes back to try to apologize from earlier, and he has a good line of like, oh, first one.
Talk about your hair. Yeah. It's like, it's so awkward.
I like it. I like his line here, though, where he goes, he's like, first you want to kill me, now you want to kiss me. Blow. That just, he's such a fucking cock in the movie, which I really love. The pacing doesn't stop there. It goes right back into it. The wise man comes back in and gives him his quest.
So what's the deal? Can you send me back or not?
Only the Necronomicon has the power. An unholy book, which we also require. Within its pages are passages that can send you back to your time. Only you, the promised one, can quest for it.
I don't want your book. I don't want your bullshit. Just send me back to my own time. Pronto, today.
But shit gets real as the water spills on the floor, and there's another deadite that's on the scene in there. She fucking spouts off how you'll never get the Necronomicon, blah, 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 and then collapses like she's dead on the floor. And there's like this long, nice pause as this guy's hand goes over to go check her. And you know, you're like, don't fucking check that bitch. But Ash knows. He grabs his hand. He's like, don't do it. It's a trick. Get an axe. And then she immediately pops up and then starts wreaking havoc in the room, which is pretty fun. But Ash makes fucking short work of her as soon as he gets his boomstick.
Yo, she bitch. Let's go.
I like. I never heard the term "she bitch." I felt like it was a little bit redundant, but you know, I think we need to bring that back into our vernacular.
Isn't "bitch" like pretty self-explanatory? To add "she" to it is really.
Yeah. I guess nowadays
you're not just a bitch; you're a she bitch.
Yeah.
Right. Nowadays, with all the pronouns going around, you really need to really nail it in that I acknowledge that you recognize yourself as a she and you are also a bitch. Because I've called a lot of guys bitches, so this makes sense.
Yeah, I can't wait for the day where I finally get to say, yo, Zay bitch, let's go.
Not many people know that it was an unpopular DC comic. It was an unpopular DC comic because it was the second to a Swamp Thing was She-Bitch.
Swamp Thing and She-Bitch, the combo, the Dark Knight and Robin. I like that.
Actually, yeah. I think I want you boys, that's my nickname. I've got Fuck Pig and Scabs, and I want you guys to put me in your phones as She-Bitch.
All right, here's my phone right now, changing to She-Bitch.
It's kind of like Wonder Boy and Young Nasty Man. So.
Yes. Good Tenacious D reference, Jeremy. I picked up on it. So he makes short work of her and decides that, yes, he'll go quest for the book. But first, he needs to make a new hand.
Groovy.
And he makes, like, he could make, I love the little fucking montage of him just grabbing items, like, he builds, first of all, Ash is already, like, established himself as a total moron, but can easily look at medieval technology and make a fully automated hand that can just...
that always confused me, because I'm like, he's supposed to be, like, he would not know how to do this, like, like, how would he know what to do? Like, and he just, like, can... Yeah, because, like, he's supposed to be, like, this dumb, normal guy, and then he's suddenly MacGyver and can build a fucking hand out of nowhere.
Well, one thing you don't know is that, and Walmart hasn't really tapped into this, but if you actually go to a Walmart, because, you know, that is the equivalent of S-Mart in our world, right? If you talk to any of those, special needs people that will greet you at the door, they actually can build you prosthetic limbs. That's actually a fact that I've learned.
Yes, he has Down syndrome, but if you ever need a hand... He's got you.
So he makes his hand, he crushes a cup, and then just goes, groovy. And Sheila goes to speak with Ash. He's being a fucking dick. He's like, I'm fucking out of here, lady, as soon as I'm done. But the sexual tension builds, and he finally grabs her.
Give me some sugar, baby.
Give me some sugar, baby. So another great iconic line from the movie. Now, he goes to go set off on his quest to go get the book. The wise man gives him very specific instructions before removing the book of what he has to do.
When thou retrievest the book from its cradle, you must recite the words, Clatu Verata Nictu.
Clatu Verata Nictu, okay.
Well, repeat them.
Clatu Verata Nictu.
Again!
I got it! I know your damn words, all right?
So Ash, not into studying, he goes and says, I got your goddamn words, I'm going to do it. So he heads out on his quest to this cemetery.
Can I give you another name for the movie?
Yes.
Another great name for this movie that I think they should have considered was An Asshole in King Arthur's Court.
That's pretty good.
Or Black Knight 2, but like the Martin Lawrence sequel. You understand? Right?
Yeah, it was like, he's white now? We don't understand.
Hey,
is
that
he still named Jamal? We don't fucking know.
Hey, if they ever mashed up Black Knight with a sequel to Army of Darkness, I would pop instantly. Give me all the money that needs to make it happen.
I'm going to make my own sequel and call it Army of Dumbness.
The other thing that is kind of misleading is the Army of Darkness, and Rick James isn't in the movie at all. Charlie Murphy. So.
Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy, God bless.
Sorry.
So, R.I.P. Charlie Murphs. R.I.P. Charlie Murphs. So, as he's going to go quest for it, he runs into that classic evil from Evil Dead 1 and 2 that goes and pursues him. And as he's running around trying to lose this thing, he loses his horse and goes on foot and finds, like, this windmill that he hides in for the night that has, like, a full stove and everything in there. So as he's bunkered down for the night there, He sees a mirror, and if you're familiar with Evil Dead 2, you know mirrors are a bad deal. Mirrors go out, and a reflection of you will grab you and fuck with you. So Ash immediately just breaks this and like, solve that problem. But then when he's looking down at the little pieces, 100 tiny little ashes come out from the little shattered pieces of glass.
You really didn't think that plan through.
Yeah.
I'll just punch it, and then...
And that's why they tell you never to break a mirror, because it's better to have just one big demon versus, like, 20 little demons coming
yeah,
after
I've
you.
Seen the gate. It's terrifying. And, I like the little sound that the little ashes make. And some good classic Three Stooges like fight ensues, where he stabs one by throwing like a medieval fork at it, like a spear, and it like completely impales one of them. And then he goes to he eventually gets his face stuck on like the frying pan that's like the stovetop that's super hot, and he needs a spatula to rip it off. That somehow he doesn't have third degree life changing burns on his face afterwards.
Right.
And then he goes to go step on one, but it holds up a nail at the last second, and he goes, like, it's very funny and slapstick, and the little guys eventually subdue Ash and then tie him down like Gulliver's Travels, and then fucking one of them jumps into his open mouth and swallows him. He goes fucking ape shit, breaks all these little ropes, and I love the scene where he just goes over to grab like the steaming hot pot of water that's like, he's like, how's about some hot chocolate? Just pours,
drown it inside my guts, which is something I do every time I'm with a guy. just like, I'm just these little dudes with a hot toddy.
I just,
but yeah, that whole scene made me rethink having dick. It sounded awful.
Even, but I just love the idea that he could build a pro. This is a man who can build a fully functioning robotic arm in the medieval times, and his solution. And his solution is to pour steaming hot fucking boiling hot water down his throat because some evil demon just went in there. I mean, I love it. I love it. I would never change anything about it.
He's a complex man, you know? He can do a lot of different things.
Yes. So, he then, after he does that, it kind of like, you can hear it dissolve in his belly, and that'll teach you. And then he goes to check his fucking shoulder, and there's an eyeball that's growing out, and that eyeball then grows into like another head, and the head grows into like half a person as he runs outside panicking. And then finally, Ash then gets split into two separate ashes, fucking both perfect looking and pristine.
I'm badass. And you're good, Ash. You're goody little two-shoes. You're goody little two-shoes. Goody little two-shoes. Little goody two-shoes. Little goody two-shoes. Little goody two-shoes. Little goody two-shoes.
And Ash shoots the evil Ash, and he falls to the ground. Does a good old spin of the shotgun like this.
Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
Good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. What a beautiful thing that... How did Death Wish not think of that before this?
You know, I like to think, you know, Sam Raimi's just like, Bruce Campbell will sound cool saying this.
Yes! I always like to think of, like...
Well, I did want...
You know, I'm sorry, Ash, I'll let you have this right after me, but like, you know, the old adage, like, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, and I'll say, it doesn't matter, good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. So,
there
it's
you
real.
Go.
It also, like, will make people think, like, oh, so what's he saying? Or is he what? Is it... can't process how cool that line is.
Yeah.
Well, the other funny thing for me watching that scene is like, oh, he like grows the eye, like you said, like out of his shoulder, and it slowly starts to become like a whole nother him. The whole time I'm watching, I'm like, this has to be how Eric and Jeremy came to be.
Yes, I actually
it has to be their birth.
Yes, Jeremy broke a mirror. Actually, Jeremy just ate enough broken glass that he shat me out one day, and then a fully formed adult male that looked like Kyle Gass, like just came out of his asshole. And then he was just like, you are my brother now, and we should make a podcast that hundreds of people listen to. And then now we're
I'm
here.
The good Jeremy. You're the bad Jeremy.
me and
which
Jeremy.
Which one is the good and which one's the bad?
Yeah.
It depends on how you define good or bad at this point. I'm not sure.
Hey,
I mean, every morning I wake up and I eat a puppy.
You're the good guy.
Jeremy used to do this bit, which we stole from the show Get a Life as when I was a child. And we'd walk around and then like Jeremy would go, hey, it's me from the past. Hey, it's me from the future. And then Jeremy would kick me. And then like 1 second later, he'd pretend like it kicked himself in the ass. It was always fun times. Always fun times.
I've never had a brother. This is wild. Me and my sisters would be like, will you tweeze my eyebrows?
Yeah, we didn't do that. And we were like, how can we send dad over the precipice of pure insanity today? And we figured out ways every single day. So.
And just run like hell.
So.
Mom was beaten mercilessly.
Adorable. Oh my goodness.
So
your wives are so lucky.
Yeah, we're catches. So he dismembers Ash, the evil Ash, and then buries him outside, and as he's looking down at him, he goes, I swear I'll come back for you. And he goes, hey, you got a little something on your face right there, and just puts a full like shovel of dirt right at it. And I know that's one of Jeremy's favorite lines, but I didn't rip the audio for that. So, Ash then makes his way to the cemetery where he finds the Necronomicon, but there's a problem. There's three of them that are sitting there, and he can't decide which one's which. But luckily, because Ash is an idiot, he picks all the wrong ones first. First, he opens the first one, and it's like a giant black hole that like sucks him in, and it makes his like face elongated, I guess, is the best way to describe this. Like, he comes up and he's got a chin that is somehow larger than the like the
kind of like Jay Leno.
Yes, like a regular Jay Leno. It's great.
Like, you remember there was a show like Big Bad Beetleborgs, like that thing, the giant chin, yeah. Like that looked like Jay Leno too.
Yes.
Like, that's.
Yes, or the bad guy from Lazy Town, if you have children and have to watch all these shows. Yeah, very similar to that. Yeah, so he does that, and then he has to like shake it off like Three Stooges style. Just go, it does it like four or five times, and it gets a little bit smaller each time. But the last time he does it, it's fucking hilarious because he does it, and it's not only gone, but his hair is perfect. He's like, whoa, that was crazy. I don't know why that fucking shit makes me so laugh so hard. It's like, oh, you went through a completely traumatic experience, but now you also have perfect hair. Like, oh, that sucked. So he goes to grab the other one, and it bites his hand, and it's like a flying bat thing that like attacks him for like the next 30 seconds. And then, but I like that he looks at it after. He's like, oh, you motherfucker. I'll get back with you now that he knows it's the right book. And
my favorite is when he doesn't know where it is and attacks his neck from behind.
I really do love it, and it's just more of Bruce Campbell getting punched with things, which is like, that's Sam Raimi's clear joke. He's just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna hit you with a book in the back of your neck like five or six times. So good.
I'm surprised Sam Raimi just didn't like come up to him with a chair one day, just hit him with a chair and was like,
take that. But he finally finds the right book, and now he has to remember the words, but he's having some trouble remembering what the right words are, because clearly he did make that a big deal. And now this little clip, all right, it's Ash trying to remember the last word, which is Nikto, but I will say, I swear this little clip is exactly the same thing that Quentin Tarantino says anytime he's having trouble writing a movie script, okay?
It's an N-word. It's definitely an N-word. Definitely an N-word.
It's definitely an N-word.
Quentin Tarantino's dream movie would make a woman's feet say the N-word. I think he could somehow make that a three-hour film.
It's just Selma Hayek.
He would never have to make another movie again.
So,
does anybody know the origins of these words, from which movie in the 50s it came from?
No. Where did it come from, Jeremy?
It's obviously the day the Earth stood still with the giant robot that lands right in front of the White House and has to call the giant robot with the Klaatu Virata Nictu.
Oh, I did not know that. Very good. Good.
And they redid it with a very bad Keanu Reeves movie just lately, I think 10 years ago.
Yeah, I watched that on a flight to Argentina, actually, and that movie was not great, as I recall. Was not great.
Oh, and also, the skiff that is riding with Jabba's ship out on the desert to feed the giant space worm. Three of the characters on that thing that they're going to feed Luke Skywalker into were also named Klaatu, Virata, and Nictu.
Oh, look at that. Good Klaatu, Virata references, Jeremy.
Oh, I know my Klaatu, Virata.
So, yeah, Ash has a plan because he can't remember the last word to do this.
Klaatu, Virata, Nictu.
So... There, I said the words, and he goes to grab the book, and immediately rumbling starts happening, and he's still pleading with some disembodied thing, like, I said the words, I did it right, and now an army of the dead is raising from the cemetery, all left and right. He actually gets fucking grabbed up by a bunch of like skeletons. It's a more slapstick comedy where he like blocks one of them from like poking him in the eyes, and then they do it again, and then they go from both sides with one finger. It's just very funny, the entire scene. So
I do like though where he sneezes and he doesn't get the words right, because I'm like, oh my god, it's like every time I ask a man if he loves me,
Ashley, will you did you say marry me? I said can we go to the Outback Steakhouse? Actually
or like, oh my god, are you asking me to marry you? No, I'm actually asking you if we can break up. Okay.
I don't think it's fair when you ask those guys just because they have MS so bad that they can barely talk when they say they love you.
Does it make you feel better or worse, Jeremy, that even men with physical and emotional disabilities still are like, I think I can do better?
Welcome to my world.
Jeremy, don't even. Jeremy, if you were not already snapped up, I would settle for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and, cool. And within a year, you'd be thinking about how to kill me.
Yes.
So it's all good.
I think I'd be more afraid that I'd lay awake at night wondering when you were going to kill me.
Oh, Jeremy can't stay up that late. Don't worry, though.
How else would I be able to actually have a domicile? Somebody's got to work and have a living.
You're actually, you know what, Jeremy, you are not wrong about that. I got that good government money, you know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, lightning strikes Evil Ash's gravesite, and he rises back together and forms into Voltron one more time. Ash goes back to the castle and explains that he got the book.
Yeah, basically.
Did you speak the exact words?
Look, maybe I didn't say every single little tiny syllable, no, but basically I said them, yeah.
Dung-eating fool! Thou hast doomed us all! When thou misspoke the words... The army of the dead awoke.
Now, whoa, 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 right there, Spinach Chin. You said that you could clean this mess up once you got that book. You said there was a passage in there that could get rid of this thing and send me back.
It's true, the book still possesses the power to send you back, but to us, it is useless.
The evil has a terrible hunger for the Necronomicon,
and it will come here to get it.
Oh, so Ash has fucked everything up, and they bring, they... As he's doing that, the a fucking monster comes and swoops down, grabs up Sheila, and then flies off with her, which is the same like face demon at the end of Evil Dead 2 that he shoots very, very easily, which he has clearly a shotgun. He could clearly shoot this thing, doesn't do that, but that's okay. Whatever. We're gonna accept this plot point to make the story go along, right? And he goes on and flies off with Sheila. So Sheila's fucking gone, the love of his fucking time traveling life. And they ultimately agree to send him back, but he's fucked everything completely over. And
typical white man.
Now back at the back at camp, we get to see Evil Ash, who's raising his army of the dead.
Dig faster! I shall command every worm-infested son of a bitch that ever died in battle.
Thank you, sir. So you get to hear him, and they bring Sheila before Evil Ash.
Give me some sugar, baby.
He says, give me some sugar, baby, and then does this, I swear, this shit just... The little, like, his face is, like, shotgun blasted and, like, put back together. He looks, now this guy actually looks like a GWAR member, like, 100%. And then he goes to go give Sheila a kiss.
Come on. Come to daddy. We got plans.
So, he makes out with her, and, that's kind of gross.
This was my favorite part of the director's commentary for the movie, where Sam Raimi, he explained that I think it was like a DP or a second unit director decided to have women dragged naked by skeletons, and he was like, he even did an impression of this director. He's like, I've always wanted to see skeletons dragging naked girls. Now, he did not really approve of that, so.
Yeah, kind of a weird touch, I would say. Like, oh, you're kind of, all right, like, it's a little more campy, but we don't think we want to go that direction.
Thanks. Okay. It's already rated R. Did we have to have the naked girls? So
listen, well, you know, listen, funny. Stanley, let me ask you. I don't know how this really applies to the movie. Were the child sex prostitutes that we gave you at production not good enough for you that you have to actually throw this in a production? Like, I don't know.
But here's the thing. Watching Evil Ash actually reminded me of somebody else, because the whole time you're seeing him, like, because here's the other thing too, you slowly see him kind of devolve, because he didn't start out that way. And as I looked at him, I went, oh my god, I know who he reminds me of. He looked just like me before I started Proactive. Shiny.
Oh, Ashley, yeah. Your self-deprecating humor never ceases to amaze me. And she's throating the microphone. Okay, so
I just wish that they had had Seal in this scene. So
Seal? No, that actually was Seal. That was him. That was
he definitely looked like he got kissed by a rose thorn. Yeah. He got the shit.
Yeah,
I've been kissed by a rose bush.
Yeah. One thing they don't tell you about the song Kissed by a Rose is it's written about Seal's face, and that's the time that he was thrown from a car, and how he ended up with a face that only, you know, blind people could read with their hands. So,
or Heidi Klum, because he had money.
Yeah, dude, listen.
Or when he got in a fight with a wolf, and that's how his face became that way. So
listen, the money changes everything. You're telling me if Jeremy was a multimillionaire, you wouldn't snort lines of his fucking flesh that falls off of him constantly? Yes, you would, immediately. Like, it would...
Yeah. Protein shakes all around. Be like, collagen. Yeah.
God.
I outgrossed you. Yay.
God. So...
As they say at my funeral, he's always with us. Whether you sit in his chair, or whether you're just walking around his house, or maybe on even everywhere. He's everywhere. So.
When you only see one trail of skin flakes, you know that's when I was carrying you.
Well, that's the thing. And so we make jokes about Jeremy like possibly being a serial killer or something like that because he dresses up like a murder clown all the time. But I know he isn't, because if he had murdered anyone, like, you realize any forensic crew would be like, did you get any evidence? You're like, yeah, we have a pound of skin flakes that we picked up. Literal pound.
Yeah. That's like their easiest day.
I'm already writing a movie.
Do we know who it is? Yes, we followed the trail that he left behind, like Pigpen, that led right to his house after he finished it.
Well, from all the murder scenes, we compiled enough pounds of his skin so they reformed his actual body into an actual human-sized body of him. So.
One last one. Instead of trail of tears, it's trail of skin.
Jeremy, I think you should start selling.
By the way, I'm writing a story about how I died, and my wife misses me, but then like when she's like really really sad, there's like a whirlwind of my skin reforming into myself like a ghost, kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi. So like, I'm still here with you, honey. And then when I reform into the dust all around the house, so.
Can you paint with all
the colors of the wind?
I'm calling the love story Dusty Love.
Oh, my God. All right, we're off track. Let's get back on the thing.
Yes.
So, meanwhile, the town is panicking because there's a fucking army of the dead coming for them. They're like, what are we going to do? Where's good as dead? And Ash tries to rally the troops.
Go ahead and run. Run home and cry to mama. Me? I'm through running. I say we stay here and fight it out.
Are all men from the future loud-mouthed braggarts?
Nope. Just me, baby. Just me.
Most of our people have already fled. We are but 60 men.
Then we'll get Henry the Red and his men to fight with us. Now! Who's with me?
I'll stand by you.
You can count on my steel. I'll offer up my courage.
Your sword's by his side.
I'm with you. I'll bend my bow to your will, sir. And mine.
Yeah, so Ash rallies all the troops. They've all completely bought into this weird guy who doesn't dress like any of them. He's completely endeared himself to them in just one single scene that I'll say more powerful than Bill Pullman's speech in ID4. You know, it's right in that same vein of just...
And Mel Gibson in Braveheart.
Yes, all of those things. All together.
And you accidentally cut out the part where Gimli says, "And my axe!
And my axe!
You can toss me at the enemy anytime!"
So, they're all...
I have to say that this was the scene that upset Timothy Quill, the blacksmith, the most. Because earlier in the scene, when everybody's panicking, the brother of Sam Raimi, otherwise known as Ted, is the one going, we're gonna die, we're gonna die! And of course, moments later, he's the one that's like, you can count on my steel!
Yes.
That's what upset Timothy Quill the most, so.
Yeah, it's a bad character trait. That makes sense. So he's got the townspeople. He said, we're going to get Henry the Red to come and help, and who knows if he's going to help. We'll find that out soon enough. Meanwhile, back at the Army of Darkness, Sheila awakes, and now Sheila is super fucking evil.
I may be bad, but I feel good.
Oh, and I officially have my first erection of the show. And as we move forward, that grossed out Ashley. Thank you.
No, I'm surprised this was the first one of the show.
First one I told
you. I thought
you
had an erection the whole time. So
I
thought she looked really hot because she looked like Joan Jett.
So the Army of Darkness starts marching towards the city. But in the meantime, we need a little montage to get everybody fucking up to speed. So Ash goes in and rebuilds the Delta 78 that has come back in time. He also pulls out one chemistry 101 book that he uses to make gunpowder, and also teaches the townsfolk some karate moves, which is pretty hilarious, which I think I have at the end of this clip here. Hold on. So that's our little training montage. Now they're completely ready, these 60 guys that are holding down this castle to take on an army of deadites. And the army shows up at the gates, and all goes well for all intents and purposes. They have gunpowder. They're blowing them up with fucking arrows that explode. You get to see skeletons go fucking bang left and right, stuntmen going over like lifts that are clearly shooting them up like 30 feet in the air. Everything's going well, but eventually they're able to breach the castle door with the battering ram. It seems like the tide has turned, but Ash strikes back with the good old Delta.
Say hello to the 21st century.
And the Delta not only is completely rebuilt, but it has a giant fan blade on the front that just chops up things, like chops up the deadites, and is just catching people and flinging them left and right. But he eventually runs into the very beautiful Sheila, who doesn't look like a demon at the moment, and he can't fucking throw her into the maw, and he crashes the tank Delta and it basically blows it up, essentially, which doesn't make sense as far as continuity goes. How does the Delta get back to modern day times? I don't know, but Ash versus Evil Dead, I feel like, didn't explain this plot point. But again, I'm going into something that I really hate, which is nerds like me picking apart movies that don't need to be picked apart. So
yeah, it's just like, yeah, no one can just enjoy watching a movie anymore. They have to like find the flaws and be like, oh, it isn't connected.
Yes. So Ash tosses Sheila into the pit and she disappears. All seems to be lost at this point, and all of a sudden Duke Henry arrives.
Hooray! Duke Henry and his men have come.
So Duke Henry shows up with a fucking battalion of people. They start chopping down the deadites. Meanwhile, Evil Ash is getting close to the book. Good Ash goes and fights his way to get towards them. He's breaking fucking skeleton people's backs, throwing them over the wall, being a general badass. And just as he's about to fight Evil Ash, Sheila attacks again and climbs on his back.
You found me beautiful once.
Honey, you got real ugly.
And she attacks him, and he pole vaults her off of the fucking castle wall, and she falls down, maybe dead, maybe alive. We'll find out soon enough. So just as Evil Ash is about to grab the book, Ash regular fucking impales him with a fucking spear chuck. It slows him down very little. Eventually, as they're fucking fighting, he grabs a fucking torch and burns his goddamn face off and then tumbles over a wall. But Evil Ash comes back with no face, and now he's a skeleton, and there's some really bad claymation that happens for like the next 5 or 6 minutes. Ash then fucking gets bested and then tumbles over a wall with the torch. The torch is now lit a giant thing of gunpowder on a catapult, and fucking Evil Ash skeleton jumps down and is landed on the catapult of fucking which is basically a giant bomb, and says the day is won. And all of a sudden,
I possess the Necronomicon. I've crushed your pathetic army. Now I'll have my vengeance.
Buckle up, bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
And Ash cuts off his fucking hand with the Necronomicon, catches it, and then chops the rope, and the skeleton Evil Ash goes flying and explodes. for all, and then basically ending the war right with that, because everybody has lost their shit. He's blown up. Victory is solved. Evil has left Sheila, and she's perfectly fine now. Doesn't look like she got thrown off like a two-story building at all and can just walk perfectly. He has the book. He has the power. Arthur's side and Henry's side, Henry the Red, they make peace. They hug each other. And Ash ultimately gets sent home, where he finds himself telling the story to his co-workers at the S-Mart, saying that, you know what, I could have been a king. I could have been a lot of things. And the one guy who's also Sam Raimi's brother, once again, is listening to this, and he's just like, yeah, that sounds like a likely story. But there's a beautiful red-haired woman at the S-Mart who did listen to Ash's story.
You know that story about how you could have been king? I think it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
But it's cut short because there's a deadite within the store. Ash makes short work of this fucking lady by taking a good old rifle and using the fucking lever action to pump about 30 rounds into her, leaving her dead.
Sure, I could have stayed in the past. Could have even been king. But in my own way, I am king. Hail to the king, baby.
And that brings us to an end of Evil Dead's Army of Darkness. That's it. And now my sweet Susie has joined me. Hello, Susie. Can you say hi? I'm recording the show right now. Can you let me finish up and I'll come up and see you in a minute? Yeah. Okay. Very good. Get the fuck out of here.
we forgot to mention the evil witch that was fighting Ash when he first is telling his new girlfriend to blow was actually Patricia Tallman from the Night of the Living Dead 90 remake, who I also met, also in Knight Riders, another George Romero film where they ride bikes and joust. She's been a stunt woman as well as an actress. So wow. Pretty nice.
As they do. I don't know. Kurt, what final thoughts on the Army of Darkness?
It's just a fun movie. Like, I think what I like about it is, like, you could tell, Sam, what I like is it's so, like, if you watch the first Evil Dead, Ash is a completely, like, not realized character yet. He's not, like, a cool guy. He's just, like, you know, he's just, like, a normal dude. And then, like, with each sequel, he becomes, like, way more extreme. And then, like you said, in this one, he develops, like, he's still kind of an idiot, but he has these weird skills, like building a hand and, like, it's like,
yes.
What the fuck? It's just, like, it's just such a weird movie, you know? That's, like, why, like, when I saw this one before the other ones, like, it's weird because you go back, you see this one first, and then you see Evil Dead 2, and you're like, oh, okay, this is where he's slowly becoming the Ash of this movie. And then you watch Evil Dead 1 and you're like, he's a completely different guy in the first one. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's very much like, I'll equate it to the Luke Skywalker from the Star Wars trilogy. You know, episode 4, he's just a young farm boy, doesn't know what he's doing. Episode 2, learning to become a Jedi. This is the full realization of Ash's power of being a full moron, and yet it's like as his moronic fucking attitude increases, his ability to fight the dead increases. So there you go.
Stupider he gets, like, the more he can save the world.
Yes. Never overthinking it. That's the Ash way.
I'm still waiting for Ash versus Jason, since Jason is the biggest deadite of all.
That is true. Hey, there's a great comic series, and I want to
Jason versus Ash, like that.
Yeah, I want to read it. I've never read that, and I want to read it so bad.
The fact that that wasn't the movie we got is kind of sad. I mean, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be honest with you. Everybody talks about Ash versus Jason and Freddy. I'll be honest with you. I would love, while people are still alive and can do it, I'd love to see the guy from Phantasm, who is basically Ash, team up with Ash in a real movie, because that's what I really want is are those two just meeting each other, hating each other. Like, just make the movie Step Brothers, but add monsters and those two together, and that's all I really need in this world.
That does sound pretty cool.
So you're talking about Reggie Bannister.
Yeah, I want Reggie and Ash. I want to Reggie Ash team up. I don't care if they fight the tall man or if they fight the deadites. It could be either or. It could be both. But I just need both of them because they're both idiots with shotguns that kill things. So
I'm actually currently working on one myself. It's called Ash and Imodium Fight Chronic Diarrhea.
I'd like to talk to our new sponsor, Imodium.
If I could, you know, I would wear the shirts. I'd put it on my car. Be like, oh, did you not know? Imodium is our sponsor.
And the only thing you want is the new brand of Imodium called Ass Imodium. So,
yeah. This one goes in rectally for fast relief.
Yes. And it's called Ash to Mouth. It's very good.
dust to dust, ash to ass.
So, hey, that brings us to an end of our episode. Kurt Ryan, thank you for joining us on the show. I know we had some technical difficulties, but where can our listeners find you at?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm Kurt Ryan. I'm maxed out on friends, but someone might delete me, so you could probably add me. Yeah. I'm also on Instagram at Kurt Ryan Comedy, and on Twitter on Comedy Ryan, I think is my handle. I don't really use Twitter that much, so I don't even remember what my handle is, but I think that's it.
So get on those things, and I'll be honest with you, Kurt Ryan, primo memes. You guys got to see it. He makes fucking great content day and night, and I can't get enough of it. I fucking love it, and I'm glad that you were on the show with us today. Thank you so much, good sir.
I didn't know that Kurt Ryan was like Jeff Dunham big to have 5,000 friends.
Dude, he's a big fucking deal. He's a big fucking deal. Ashley, where can people find you at, darling?
You can always find me at Ashley Pontius Laughs, and you can see me hosting for Eric August 21st in Hanover, PA.
That is true. Man, I'm looking forward to that. You and me, reunited at last. The first time I've seen you since quarantine. All things Eric Comedy, you can find at ericcomedy.com. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month, except for this month because it just didn't happen. It's hosted by Mike Quinlan and former host of the show, Miss Kimberly Callahan. I guess that's all I got. Jeremy, take us the fuck out of here.
You can turn my... ODMG!
Very good, Jeremy. The delay on that was strong, and you didn't really nail it perfectly, but I liked it either way.
It's okay. It still sounded like a butthole.
You'll fix it in post.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Coming out? I don't know.